This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Now, a group called My Peace have purchased three billboards and intend to run some TV commercials saying that Jesus is a prophet of Islam. As you can imagine, this has caused quite a stir. And the intention, according to the organiser, is to raise awareness that Islam believes in Jesus Christ and encourages Christians and Muslims to find common ground. Now, John Dixon is one of the directors of the Centre for Public Christianity and joins us to talk about this on the phone this morning. G'day, John.
G'day, Aaron. Good to speak with you.
Now, you've mentioned previously that you've actually publicly debated the organiser of My Peace, Dia Muhammad, is that correct?
Yeah, Dia Muhammad, he's a lovely, lovely man. And several years ago, St Thomas's North Sydney organised a public, let's call it a discussion, between the two of us. And so, you know, he gave a lecture on why he believes in Islam. I gave one on why I believe in Christianity. Then we cross-examined each other, and then we held questions from the floor. It was a lovely, lovely night. And I must say, he is a very gracious, polite, articulate Muslim.
Set up for us how Islam considers Jesus to be a prophet.
Well, there's no question that Islam developed many centuries after both Judaism and Christianity. So the first revelation to Muhammad, according to Muslims, is in the year 610. Okay, so that's nearly 600 years after Jesus. So it's not surprising that you'd find references to Jesus in the revelations to Muhammad, in the Quran, because Christianity had spread throughout Arabia in this period. Now, most historians agree that Islam is kind of a reform movement that rejected the paganism of Arabia by borrowing what it wanted from Judaism and Christianity. And within that matrix, they wanted to revere Jesus, but claimed that he was a prophet, just like Moses, just like David and the other prophets, just like Muhammad, really. But Muhammad was the final prophet. So it's a way of relegating Jesus. Muhammad knew very well that Christians in Arabia had for centuries worshipped Jesus as God, but he rejected this notion and devalued Jesus to be a prophet, and they regard him as a revered prophet of Islam.
Now, while this statement is naturally offensive to Christians, the intentions are noble here, you could say.
Well, the intentions that Dia stated in the media over the weekend are to open up discussion about the common ground between Christianity and Islam. Mm. And there is common ground in that we both have a lot of space for Jesus. But it would be misleading, and Dia knows this full well, to think that the view of Jesus in Islam is the same as that in Christianity. In fact, I have a copy of my Quran open here in front of me. And in chapter 5, verse 74, it says, "They do blaspheme who say God is the Messiah, the Son of Mary." In other words, the central conviction of Christian faith that Jesus is God, that God became a man in order to live the life we couldn't live and die the death on our behalf and rise again, is a blasphemy in Islam. Now, Dia knows that. And so, although we have common ground in the name Jesus, we don't have common ground in who we think Jesus is.
Yeah, look... Obviously, the statement is something that is generating some response. Now, Dia has received abusive phone calls. One of the signs has been vandalised. This statement, from a Christian perspective, it is completely false. We don't hold it at all. But we need to work out how then do we respond to this moving forward, and to avoid a cheesy phrase, but how would Jesus respond to this, and therefore how should we respond to these billboards and this conversation?
Let me give you two answers. I think the first answer is we can deal with it at an intellectual level. We can say, how is it that we could possibly trust a document written 600 years after Jesus for its information about Jesus? I mean, how is that possible when we have documents written within living memory of Jesus, the Gospels and Paul's letters, that tell us he was, in fact, the Son of God? He was God in the flesh. So I think the first question we have to ask our Muslim friends is the academic one. You're asking us to rely on a text 600 years too late. That just doesn't make any sense. But I think the more important issue is for Christians not to deface the billboards, not to send Dia threats of any kind. He is a lovely, lovely man, and I am just very disappointed that anyone claiming to be a Christian might abuse him in that way. You ask, how would Jesus respond? Well, how did he respond to those who rejected him? He loved them, sat down at the dinner table with the greatest sinners of the world. He said, Father, forgive them, to the very people who were crucifying him. This is our Lord, and he calls on us to follow him in this way. In fact, the question I asked Thea in our public debate some years ago was very, very interesting. I said, Dear, I've read the Quran from cover to cover, and I can't find a single text that tells me that God, within the Islamic framework, loves even the disobedient. Can you tell me a text in Islam that says God loves the disobedient? And he said, in front of a packed crowd, there isn't one, because this is not what Islam teaches. And then he said, how can you say God loves the disobedient? And of course, it gave me a great opportunity to talk about the Jesus of the Gospels, who did love the disobedient, who came into the world to die for sinners. And I reckon we've got to model that idea. Islam does not teach that God loves the sinner and the disobedient, but Christianity does, and therefore Christians ought to show nothing but love and grace and humility in the context of this debate.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.